Good evening, everyone, and welcome to WILL's Community Cinema Screening and Discussion. I'm Henry Radcliffe, Community Engagement Producer and Community Cinema Series Manager at Illinois Public Media, WILL Radio, TV, and online. All across the country, people and communities, 100 of them, in fact, are coming together to watch and discuss tonight's film, Buto. Public television is known for our high-quality, independent documentaries, and tonight we hope we'll live up to our reputation for bringing cinema out into the community to watch and enjoy, but also engage in meaningful discussion about local connections to the issues in the film. And of course, we are grateful for our national partner, the Independent Television Service, who brings the community cinema series to all of us public televisions stations and provides us with quality independent documentaries to air every week on WILL television and the public broadcasting system. I would also like to thank our partner, the Champaign Public Library, for providing this wonderful space to watch the films and to have our discussion. We will show tonight's film with closed caption, and our discussion tonight will be signed for the hearing impaired by Bunny Berg, from the Office of Disabilities Resource and Education Services. Discussion will be recorded by Mike Pritchard and moderated by Jack Brighton. This evening's discussion will be a little shorter because the movie is a little longer than our previous films. Tonight's film is about an hour and 15 minutes, and we'll get started.
Well, folks, my name's Jack Brighton. Usually we have a panel up here to discuss the topic of the film, but we do not have a panel this evening. We do have you. And that was quite a stirring, interesting film. Obviously, you know, a lot of history covered in an hour and 15 minutes. So I'm going to invite anyone to speak on the topic if you have your own thoughts or reactions to the film, and we'd like to use the microphone because we are recording and appreciate that very much.
Thank you. My name is Lalita. I was born and brought up in India, but I have been here in this country for the last 20 years, so don't consider me just an India supporter all the time. And this picture brought a lot of memories, a lot of this politicians and a lot of these pictures, actually, I grew up watching all those. And in 71, I was a little girl, and my father still had the picture when Gandhi, Indira Gandhi, and Zulfikar Bhutto signed the Simla Pact after 71. I have just two comments to make. It's just not Pakistan. It's just India also. The corruption is rampant there in India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka. It's a part of life. I don't know. There's a new movement going on in India. It's probably American media is very numb about it. It's Anna Hajare. He's just a local person. He's a common person like us. And he started anti-corruption movement in India just very recently. But the thing in India and Pakistan, I have seen all the politicians, though we think it's a democracy, but I don't think it's a total democracy. Because all the politicians, they just always create their own heir, you know, which Jawaharlal Nehru did on his daughter, Indira did on his sons, and that's what the Banerjee's father did that. You know, I have the question, like, when you do a political party, when you always groom your own daughter and son, it's almost like a monarchy, you know. Don't think it's like I have something against Pakistan. No, I'm very sad that Pakistan and India, they are wasting so much money into just unnecessary, you know, defense forces. With that money, we could have fed a lot of people. Thank you.
Thank you. Thoughts about that or anything else related to the film? Benazir Bhutto, India, Pakistan, governments and how they operate? Yes.
I just want to make sure that I understand what you're saying. And the end part where you said they're spending so much money on defense, are we not doing the same thing here?
Yeah, but this country is at least a concept of poverty in India and Pakistan. You cannot defend people.
It's even worse in India and Pakistan. Like, you cannot even think how. And people are very rich there. Like, a lot of people have so much money in India and Pakistan. It's a very few, but a common people. And when you look at all these politicians, you know, comparing Banerjee's father, you know, he sent, even Jawaharlal Nehru, Indira Gandhi, sent all of their kids to outside their own country for education. They sent their kids to Harvard and Cambridge. But think about all the local people, how much we have. You know, that saddens me a lot. I respect Banerjee as a human being and what she did, but a lot of faults are there too. I think the whole systems need to change.
Well, it strikes me, not that, you know, Pakistan is like Chicago.
Only more so.
But only more so, perhaps, right. I mean, there are certain, you know, parallels in the way that, you know, politics has been played in various places. Just a thought. Other comments? Did you feel that the film was fair in how it dealt with, you know, the history of Pakistan and Benazir Bhutto? Was it too forgiving of, you know, the flaws that perhaps, you know, some of which you reference in your comments? Did it give us insight into what was going on? And any of your comments?
Expecting that. It was a good movie, well done, but I think for Western audiences to understand what is going on, they need a deeper understanding of where they're coming from. The way the caste system casts you into a life that you're expected to follow is accepted by everybody. It makes it very hard. We know from people's names where they came from and where they are expected to be. That makes it very difficult for people to be mobile socially. So the idea that we are going to be able to change either India or Pakistan or all of Islam with money is not going to work. Some very, very basic things that take a long time to happen have to happen. They are not even beginning to happen. So it's the tragedy of how things are. There's nothing you can do about it. The grass is green, the sky is blue. That's how things are. You can't change it. Thank you.
I'm struck by one thing, and just, you know, to respond to your comment, which I understand. When Benazir Bhutto was born, the film says, you know, people were in mourning for 3 days because she was born a girl. And yet she became the first woman president of an Islamic state. And I just wonder if that, you know, what does that represent?
Don't be carried away by things like that. I was talking to my brother's son's wife, who is teaching in California. She says, I'm teaching kindergarten. In my classroom, there are 13 boys and 4 girls.
There are still women feticides.
Even like people are taking advantage of the science now in a lot of Indian, you know, like they just find out the sex of the unborn baby and they kill the fetus, and there are less women in India now in the new generation. And Banerjee or Indira Gandhi became the prime minister of India and Pakistan because their fathers were famous men, not because they're just a woman. You know, that's also, you know, there is a cause too.
Part of it is because their fathers were there. A part of it is understanding that you make a woman who nobody is going to pay really much attention to, and you can carry on with your corruption just hands down. We have in India right now, the prime minister has just collected information on what is in all the Swiss bank accounts, which politician has money in which Swiss bank account, and said that he cannot release the information because of Swiss laws. I imagine that he cannot release this information because one of the largest bank account holders is Sonia Gandhi. Sonia Gandhi, who is an Italian lady who was married to Rajiv Gandhi and runs the country, again, essentially by letting people run their ministries as they would. You can read about comments like a lucrative ministry. Now, would you consider a political assignment in the United States lucrative? Well, in India, you can have a lucrative ministry because you get appointed, the money comes in, on it goes. The corruption level, you cannot imagine the corruption level really in India and Pakistan. My family was from Pakistan. We were large landholders in Pakistan, and we were refugees from Pakistan. My folks suddenly found themselves from being on top of the feudal chain, food chain, to nothing in India. And you cannot really imagine the corruption. My brother tells me that he is trying to sell land in India that we have because nobody wants it. I'm here. His kids aren't interested. The politicians who will control the change of ownership of the land want more money than the land is worth. Imagine selling an acre of land in Champaign County and having to pay $12,000 in bribes. That's the scale of it. We have no idea how bad it is, and it's not going to change soon.
Well, I have to admit that the movie wasn't exactly uplifting, but you guys have me really depressed now.
Yes, tell us something hopeful. That's what I want to hear.
What do you think? I mean,
you want to be uplifted? Good news?
Oh, God, what can I give you as good news?
Well, let me ask you this, and I don't want to interrupt your thoughts, but I mean, there is reference in the film to education and health and sort of the basic things that people need, the slogan of our first election, and those things are so lacking in these places. And as you say, people accept, well, this is my caste, this is my lot, this is where I'm going to spend the rest of my days. And yet, we do see examples of where education improves, things can change. So, I'm trying to get at a little sliver of hope with that thought, at least.
Okay. Education is good. Okay. It helps people become mobile, but religion is more powerful because it promises intangibles. I can promise you that you will go to heaven. I can't promise you that you'll get rich if you get a PhD.
Okay? But I have a PhD, and I don't really believe you. No, I mean, I actually don't have a PhD. I made that up, but...
Well,
I don't believe what you're selling me. As an educated person, I feel immune to that.
But you are one of a few.
Yes, true.
Because
and
you grew up here.
Well, and
very
fewer,
true.
That's right.
That's
and
very
even
true.
Fewer than if you were elsewhere. So the grind is just terrible. I was so proud of my wife when we went to India that she didn't have any panic attacks or anything because, well, almost, sitting in front of the car. In traffic, she wouldn't sit in the front of the car. She said it was just
especially
too scary.
Especially at night. It's just unbelievable. You can't even imagine.
Did you have a thought? Another.
Well, the only thing I was going to say was that education's wonderful, and bringing people into a more beneficial environment, you know, with health care and education is great, but you also have to remember that basic human nature to some extent these days, I work in the court system here. People and human beings have a predatory tendency towards each other, especially some of the godless, conscienceless ones that you can call sociopaths. And sometimes they'll take education and subvert it just like they will corruption and everything like that. And I don't think that necessarily, I don't advocate strong, authoritative, dictatorial regimes that shoot everybody or cut everybody's legs off. But, you know, until you address the fact that the basic justice in the system and the recognition that people have to be treated like human beings and with fundamental human respect, which is a form of education, you know. I think it's real interesting to see what's going on in some of the Arab countries right now that I was reading in the paper. They call it the fourth wave of democracy. And I think maybe that's, to some extent, maybe a reaction to people not being treated justly or their perception that they're not being treated justly, and they're just are getting tired of it. So that's just my two cents.
I have another question for, you know, for those of us in this room. About the United States is America in our involvement with Pakistan, India, the Middle East, Asia, in terms of what was going on. I mean, the references to the policies of the first Bush administration during the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan, and subsequent to that. We kind of bailed on Afghanistan and sort of manipulated Pakistan in ways that were based in our own views, in our national interest. You know, and it strikes me that most Americans probably don't know a lot about that history. But it's probably important that we actually do know what happened. And I wonder if this film was helpful in that. Or is this stuff that we all knew, I guess is what I'm asking. And was it helpful to... Or was it helpful, this new information to any of us?
Well, I thought it was an excellent film. It was very, very well done. And I was surprised.
Well, I thought it was an excellent film, and it was very well done. And it surprised me that an independent organization could put all that information together that well. That was really very well done. As far as being able to explain the situation to Western audiences, I don't think that it really did that as well as it might have. But that takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of, you know. So I don't know that there's anything negative to be said along that line. The basic thing is that it's just going to take a long time. I have a solution to the Afghan problem, Pakistan problem, and I'll give it to you in a few words. Go to Afghanistan, hold a plebiscite. Say, we're going to ask Obama should say, we're going to ask everybody what they think. 2 weeks later, get up, no matter what they say, get up and say, the Afghani people have overwhelmingly asked us to leave. We know there were a few irregularities. I understand that. Get everybody out of there and shut up. That's it. There's no other solution.
Any reactions to that?
Yes. How many more nice white young guys do you want killed? And some blacks too?
I didn't say I wanted.
No, but I mean that's the alternative. You know, that we just keep sending people. The ultimate resource that a country produces is an educated young human being, 24 years old maybe. And that's what we're wasting. What have we achieved? Nothing. What will we achieve? Nothing. None of these people love us. The nasties aren't going to go away. We just saw a movie. The nasties, some of the top people are the nasties. They're not going away. They're not going away. So there's a hard choice to be made, and it's not easy.
I'm passing out some questionnaires that I'd like for you to fill out if you don't mind.
Well, this was a tough one. All these films have been tough, I have to say. I've been doing this the third month that I've been involved in this, and I think the fourth month overall we've been doing it. And I think we're committed to keep doing this because, you know, whatever the conversation is after the film, I think it adds to at least my appreciation of what we're grappling with. So I hope you enjoy these films. I hope you come back. Next month, Henry, do you know offhand? I forget what we're doing next.
The next one is Welcome to Shelbyville, and it is 2 weeks from tonight.
2 weeks from tonight.
Two weeks on the 10th of May.
Okay.
And it will be right here.
And that, what is that film about? I put you on the spot, didn't I?
Yes, you did. It's about Somali.
Oh, about Somali. Okay.
It's about
another happy film.
It's about some immigrants moving into Shelbyville, Tennessee.
Okay. All right.
And the newest group of immigrants happen to be Somali residents, and they find help with some of the Mexican residents of the town, and they get together to kind of help each other make it through things.
Oh, this sounds pretty good.
Yes, most certainly.
I'm microphone shy, but I would just like to say that I'm happy that I came to see this movie because I knew of Benazir Bhutto and I admired her for her strength and as a person that would stand up. No matter how she came to office, she did. She stood up. And there's few people that'll do that. I admire the strength in a woman that can do that, or a man that can do that even. But I think, too, that we were all aware of her returning to Pakistan, and it was, to me, it was just a big setup. I knew she wouldn't make it out of there. And to see a potential world leader like that, get killed, snuffed out like that.
Thank you. Well, I think we're about the end of our time here, unless anybody has some concluding thoughts. I think these films will keep them going, and you know, maybe we'll get a uplift. We'll show some Gilligan's Island clips next time or something, but I want to thank everybody for coming here, and thank you for participating in the conversation, because it really is, you know, this is about the community and us all understanding much better together. So thank you so much for being here. See you next time.
I would also like to thank everyone for coming tonight, and hopefully you will be available to come in 2 weeks and see the next film. Thank you, and have a great evening.